End of Seif Beis here in Siman Yud Zayin Hilchos Tzitzis, the Mechaber writes, Tum Tum Vadrogenes Chayovim Misafek. We said that a woman is exempt from Tzitzis insofar as it's Man Grom. What about a Tum Tum Vadrogenes? These are cases of a Safek. On one hand, they have to put on Tzitzis because Safek Dorais L'Chumra. However, Yis'atfu B'lo Bracha, they have to omit the bracha because of the principle of safek brachas lahakel. And the Rama adds that tumtum, pirish tumtum, lo noda imu zachar nekeva. We don't know if he's male or female. Vandrogonus, yeshlo zachrus venakvus. Androgynous is not someone that we haven't yet determined what the genitals are, but rather they have both sets of genitals. And that requires a principle that allows us to apply the principle of suffix dorais l'chum, and they have to wear tzitzis. Again, that means if they have a beged of dalet kanfus. Now, before we see the next part of the Ramah, let's just quickly jump down to the Mishnah Brura, who says the following: Chayovim is suffix number vav the suffix Torah l'chumra. So we had back in Siman Yudal that a bar of talis, that's already a suffik. And the chiyuv there is only derabbanon after shloshim yom. Or beged shechiyuv mitam suffik, or beged shechetzio pasuach, chetzio pasuach. That's back in Siman Yud. Is rashoim lelech bo below tzitzis. In those cases, the principle will be Safek Lekula, because if it's a Talas Shulach or Lamed, that's only Derabbanon, and Safek Derabbanon Lekula. If, on the other hand, it's Chetzio Pasu, Chetzio Sosa, which is a Safek, so now we have a double Safek, and we apply the principle of Safek Safek Lekula. V'ulai Yesh Lahachmer B'chol Zemet Ne Maris Ha'ayin. The question is, would Maris Ha'ayin apply here, based on the fact that we're dealing with a beged that really looks exactly identical to any other beged, let's say, for example, Sha'ula, nobody's going to know what the status of the beged is. I'm not sure exactly why the Mishnah Brura raises this question here in the context of an androgynous atumtum. This is a question bichlal about any situation of a suffix on a derabbanon. Maybe we should say that people might not know it's a talis she'ula, and therefore maris ha'ayin would kick in. Now, in beged shechetzio pasuach chetzio sosum, perhaps it's pretty obvious that that it's a chiyuv mitam suffix. I think the maris ha'ayin here is because perhaps the spectator doesn't know that we're talking about an androgynous. He doesn't know what the status of this person is. And if this person dresses like a man, for example, let's Luyitzur, then people think it's a man. They don't know he's an androgynous. So they don't have this element of suffix in their minds. And yet, take a look. He's not wearing tzitzis on his beged. And even if you'll tell me, well, they see from the beggar that it's chetzio pasu, chetzio sosum, that's obvious to them, even if I grant you that premise. But nevertheless, safik dorais l'chumra. They're not aware of the additional safik that he might not be a zachar, because they look at him and they see him as a man. So that's the maris ha'ayin issue here. And the Mishnah Brura vacillates whether or not maris ha'ayin should apply. So if we go back to Siman Yud for a moment, and we look at Seif Zayin, Siman Yud Seif Zayin, which I believe is on page 35. Let's see if I'm right. Siman Yud Seif Zayin on the equivalent of page 35. It says the following: Mabushim hem psuchim natzod lamati yesh ben arba kanfus sadmata umala hem stumim rabu sasum potu rabu pasu chayav. So we're going to apply the principle of Safek Lehachmir in this case. I don't see offhand that there's any discussion here in Simon Yud about Maris Ha'ayin. Just one second. Who could Isa Sham? Oh, Besif Ches. He tells you look at Sif Ches. And that's here on page 36. And here's where the case of Maris Ha'ayin comes to play. Kappa Sheheep Sucha Be'inyan Sheyesh La'arba Kanfos Im Yikbu Ba Astraringa La'asosa Kistuma Kedei L'facha Mitzitzis Eim Mo'el Tikin Zeh Im Lo'tia Kvua Michetzi Arka Ulamata L'chol Apochos V'gam Shetia Kvua Lamata Me'achagor L'man Yeh Harov Sosum Rov Hanirale Nayim. So we need a Rov Hanirale Nayim in order to pater him from tzitzis. So it's not enough lasosa stuma kidei lefotcha mitzitzis, but rather you need kvua michatzi ork lamatul chalpochol shetia kvua lamata miachagor, so that it becomes a Rov Hanira Lainayim. So it's Lamata Beachagor makes it into a Rov, Sosa Rov Hanira Lainayim. Now, if it's not below the Chagor, then you have a Maris Ha'ayin issue here. The Mishnah Berurah says the Fag Vaholech Batal Skotan Tomitachas Begodov, the Afshu who Holech Bershus Arabim, who Batsnea, Yeshlam Dlo Shapas and Maris Ha'ayin. So he's saying that Maris Ha'ayin here would only apply in public. The Bir Aloch Mishu Maris Ha'ayin Mashma Bilavush Bolas Tomin Duadin Abgadim Sherubim Pasuach, and their part of Francis, this is Tzorech Shiyah Rov Hanireh La'einayim V'lo Mitzum Tzom Kedei Shelo Yachshvu Olav Shehu Mevarech Levatolah. So we would have to really study this in depth to come up with a working definition for Maris Ha'ayin, when it applies and when not. The Mishnah Berurah here doesn't give you that. He just tells you that he doesn't know whether Maris Ha'ayin should apply. Again, let's reread the language of the Mishnah Berurah here. He writes, so I'm assuming that this is not the Maris Ha'ayin of Rubo Pasuach, which is not Nikola Ayin, etc. That's in the Begin itself, and if we should put Tzitzis, Mishum Maris Ha'ayin. Here I think it's in the person. We don't know if the person is Chayav B'Tzitzis or not. The onlooker thinks he's Chayav B'Tzitzis. So Enoch Hinami, in 99 out of 100 cases, the androgynous the tumtum will wear tzitzis on their beged because of suffek d'oraisa l'chumra. But what about a case of tzitzis d'rabbanon or tzitzis shel suffek? Here, technically, we should come to the conclusion that the androgynous is not required to wear the tzitzis, but we have a Maris Ha'ayin issue. Now, sometimes you could ask the question, well, Maris Ha'ayin is only otu a real Isur, but not otu a Gzeira, because that becomes a Gzeira. But here we're talking about a real Isur, because he's being Mavata the Mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, it's only the Rabbanon. So, are we worried about Maris Ha'ayin onto a violation of the Rabbanon? And again, the premise here is that in a case of Tal Sheul Achar Shloshim Yom, it's a rabbinic obligation. So you want to say Maris Ayin to rabbinic, I don't know if we would say such a thing. For example, the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Basar B'chol Pei Zayin says that there's no Maris Ayin Otu Of B'cholav in the case of Cholav Shkedim, because Of itself is only Derabbanon, and we don't have Maris Ayin Otu a Derabbanon. But again, not all the poskim agree with the Ramah. So maybe the suffix, the vacillation here of the Ramah in the case of Tal She'ulo Liachar Shloshim, which is only the Rabbanon, as to whether the androgynous should be wearing this beged with tzitzis because of Maris Ha'ayin, that it looks like he's violating an Issa the Rabbanon. So that itself is a machlokas haposkim, is the Maris Ha'ayin Otu a Rabbanon. Now, I would be inclined to think that in this case, if Maris Ha'ayin is because he's violating a Drabbanon, then we should expand the list of Gavras that are included in this Chiyuv, Drabbanon and Tal She'ula, that Drabbanon established the Chiyuv for all individuals that are either male, clearly, and Alpidin, they're male, or they look like they're male. And that's the way the Rabbanan organized it and established it. Now, we wanted to go back to the Mishnah Berurah here in his definition of an androgynous. We said is in the Rambam, Yeshbo Zachrus v'Nakvus, and the Mishnah Berurah writes for who gamkein Safek Zachar o Nekeva. And it sounds like what the Mishnah Berurah wants to point out is that because this individual, this androgynous, has both simonim zachrus and nakvus, that ends up with a suffix. We don't know if he's a zachar nekeva. I would have said it a little differently. Maybe the Mishnah Berurah meant what I'm about to say. I don't know if I could fit it into his words. That he has both the status of Zachrus, of Zohar, and Nekeva at the same time. It's an absolute overlap, even though those are two mutually exclusive concepts, but there is such a thing as a suffix of a Tati de Sasser. We have a valid halachic reason that it's X, and valid halachic reason that it's not X, but rather it's Y, and then we apply both the dinim of X and Y. Like, for example, Bein HaShemashes might be both Yom and Laila. So we'll give it both Dinim of Yom and Dinim of Laila. Here also, because we're talking about an androgynous that has both Simonim, so we'll give him both the Dinim of a Zohar and a Nekeva. Now, insofar as this individual is classified as a Nekeva because of the Simoni Nakvus, the androgynous is potter from Tzitzis, but that's not Afka. That's not that doesn't make it impossible for him to receive a chiyuv. And if there are only simoni zachrus to add to boot, that's an additional dimension of chiyuv. The only problem is that if that be the case, then one could ostensibly argue that androgynous should be chayv in tzitzis d'oraisa, not midin safek, but midin vadai, because his zachrus gives him the status of a vadai zachar. But the Mishnah Berurah continues by quoting another sefer here called the Arutz Chaim, which he very often quotes. Shehevi raya mikama mekomos de paskinon kein la locha to who begeder safek v'lo kaman diomer du birya b'feyatzma. So there's another way of defining androgynous as a birya, as a third category, a third column. He's not a zocher, he's not a nekeva. In such cases, there's no reason why he should. The androgynous should be required to wear tzitzis, again, unless you assume lifnei iver. I mean, officially Maris Ha'ayin, which I think is lifnei iver. Be that as it may, we're not holding that an androgynous is a birya b'tnei atzmo. We're going to put him in a getter of suffix. Again, I don't know what this suffix is. Either the suffix is we don't know if he's a zocher in the cave, and if we have to worry, maybe he's a zocher, or maybe the suffix is a result of the tarta de sastri. He also has simoni zachrus, and that makes it a chiyuv b'toras vadai. The Mishnah Berurah is learning that it's only b'toras suffix, but there are indications of at least one shita. I mean, when I say one shita, one school of thought that would maintain that androgynous is a vadei zocher and a vadei nekeva, which means that the androgynous would certainly be chayav to wear tzitzis. Why? Because he's a zocher and he has simone zachrus. And that again would undermine everything we said in the previous paragraph of the Mishnah Berurah, but that's because the Mishnah Berurah holds that androgynous is a real suffix. The last line in the Ramah Nahagav, Ulefima Shenogu Noshim Levarth Bemitzah Seishas Mangroma, this is an Ashkenazic development based on Rabbeinu Tam, that a woman who opts voluntarily to fulfill a mitzvah that's time bound, that technically she's absolved from the mitzvah, she recites a bracha on this voluntary asiyah, is gam heim yivarchu. So whereas the Machaber Lishitoso says that nashim etc. will be potter from this mitzvah and there will be no bracha on this mitzvah, and for example, yisatvu below bracha. Now that yisatvu below bracha could refer, in a sense, also to noshim at the beginning of this siif. Although you read it tumtum adroginus chayov misafik v'yisatvu below bracha, referring exclusively to Tumtum and Androgynous, applying the principle of Safik Brachas LaHakel. Nevertheless, I believe that the same statement, the same law, which is below Bracha, would apply to Nashim as well. Again, you may argue that Nashim, with regard to tzitzis, is mechzik yira. We don't recommend that they wear tzitzis. But putting that problem on the side for a moment, the mechzik yira, if a woman volunteers for tzitzis, then she would not make a bracha, because according to the Mechaber, there's no bracha on a voluntary mitzvah. And that is the Shita Sarambam, in fact. But Rabbeinu Tam is a different Shita, and according to him, there is not only a possibility of an optional mitzvah in a case of Zman Groma, but a bracha as well. And the Asher Kitshon Mitzosu V'Tzimonu could apply even to an Isha who is technically Ptura Min HaMitzvahs. Now, if we apply that in this case of Nagu Noshim Levarach B'mitzvah Saseh, that our minig reflects the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, then it would seem that the Ramah, although he doesn't encourage women to wear tzitzis, and that he calls Yura, but in the cases of Tumtum Androgynous, and they are Chayav Misafek, then they can even recite a bracha. And why is this? Because the tzad nakvus, or the simoni nakvus, sofik nakvus, would potter them up. But yet, even someone who's potter from mitzvah, according to Rabbeinu Tam, can opt for a bracha and voluntarily take upon himself or herself the mitzvah, and therefore the bracha as well. That's how I'm meaning to that women will make a bracha on shofar, women will make a bracha on any mitzvah cessations, my grammar, that they take it upon themselves to fulfill. Again, even though Isha B'Toras Isha would be discouraged because of Yura, but in the case of Androgynous, we're not going to discourage, and the bracha, therefore, would be appropriate. Because even if you'll tell me in the worst case scenario that this tumtum is in fact an akeva, but nevertheless a bracha is meaningful because of an optional mitzvah seishas mein groma, so a woman could make a bracha. She will be discouraged from wearing tzitzis because of yura, but that doesn't apply to the case of androgynous, to the case of tumtum. That's what I think is going on. Seif Gimel. Katon Hayodea Lihis Atev. So now we're talking about the mitzvah of Chinuch, and we can ask a couple of questions. At what point in the child's development and his maturity, at what age is he obligated in the mitzvah of Chinuch? And then we could ask, well, who's obligated in the mitzvah of Chinuch? Now that is a general question with regard to Chinuch in every single mitzvah, and the answer generally is the father is obligated in the mitzvah. In the case of tzitzis, there's a special issue, a unique halacha, which reflects the father's obligation, and that is Oviv Tzorech Likachlo Tzitzis Lechancho. Within the context of the father's Chiyuv Chinuch, he's got to teach him, not just teach him and encourage him to it. Tzitzis, he has to facilitate that the son's having tzitzis. Means he's got to buy tzitzis for him. And the same thing could apply in tefillin, in dalad minim. Whenever there's an object of a mitzvah, you have to obtain it, you have to buy it. That's part of the mitzvah. That's included within the framework of the mitzvah. Now, this chinuch, you want to get to the point where the child could fulfill the mitzvah as a chinuch mitzvah. We have to guarantee that he has whatever he needs, whether it be dalad minim, whether it be tefillin, or in this case, tzitzis. The Mishnah Berurah adds that he's not just buying tzitzis, he's got to buy beged, which has four kanfos, and put tzitzis on the beged. Okay, that I think that's understood. I mean, the begadim are there. I mean, a father supplies his children with begadim. Now he has to make sure that they're at tzitzios. He has to buy tzitzis to put on the kanfos of the begadim. Maybe the assumption of the Mishnah Berurah is that a beged of four corners, that's kind of rare. That's not in the, that's not included amongst the garments that you supply for a child. They don't have four kanfos, so he's got to buy dalad kanfos. Now, as far as the shir taliso is concerned, it's kedei l'sati po rosho verubo. And that's what it is. So the katan, whoever he is, and whatever height he is, he's got to make sure that in order to, the precondition for his chiyuv chinuch would be that he's old enough, I'm sorry, that the beged is large enough that it could allow the katan to do ituf. And again, that reflects the height of the child. Now, v'im yeshbo zashir, it means the talis, the beggar that we're buying, has a shear. It's large enough so that the katan could be misatev bo. Is oz tzarech aviv lahatel bo tzitzis ulevarech ima. So now that we see that this beged is large enough to cover rove of the child, in this case, whatever the child is, therefore the father becomes obligated in the midst of chinuch vis-a-vis his son to supply him with tzitzis. Now the father has to teach his son not only to put on the beged of tzitzis, which he supplied for him, but also to make the bracha. If there's a talis katan that wouldn't cover most of the body of the child, then you would not make a bruch. And it would not be appropriate for the father to train and educate his child to make the bruch. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Yud writes, Lachancho calls it dafka kishaloi giya dayin lu yud gimel. Avol mi yud gimel, here we're turning to page 58, v'e lechayev b'tzitzis kigadol. Once he reaches the age of 13, he's obligated in tzitzis. I'm not exactly sure why the Mishnah Berurah feels compelled to tell us this. He quotes here in the Shaar HaTziyun the Be'er Heitev. So what's in the Be'er Heitev? Maybe the Be'er Heitev will give us a clue. Dafka pokzigin yigim ve'el chai b'tzitzki gadol. No. My same question is addressed to the Be'er Heitev. Why would we think that tzitzis is different? Who needs a new halacha in tzitzis that once he's 13, he's chayav in the mitzvah? I mean, why would tzitzis require require any sort of a new chiddush that at the age of 13 he is he's obligated in the midst of tzitzis? For example, if you talk about period of Arivia, you might postulate an older age for the chiyuv. So if I want to mechadish to you that there's already a chiyuv period of Arivia at the age of 13, that would be a little bit of a dover hamatbia. But to say that tzitzis at the age of 13, I don't know. But maybe we'll get more clarification if we read the next line in the Mishnah Berurah, which is also in the Be'er Heitev. He says, "Avol miyud gimel v'elech chayav b'tziskol mashkos b'joshes ma'ril hilchus nesud shenogim shegam ni'orim gedolim." Ein misatvim b'tzitzis ad shenosim lem noshim v'somchal akrodik zivgdilim tassel chosmo ki yikach ish isha udomer tamua di ad shlo yisa isha yiye yoshim v'botol mitzis tzitzis. So he quotes the drosh of the Ma'aril, who says that no'orim gedolim ein misatvim b'tzitzis, meaning a single person should not wear tzitzis. I'm not sure. I think he might mean a talis gadol. But certainly the Ma'aril would understand that a talis katan is a requirement from the age of Yud Gimel. But in any event, at least I begin to understand that if the Mishnah Berurah is, pardon the expression, accusing the Ma'aril of holding that there's a minhag that until he's married he doesn't wear tzitzis, period, then I understand why he says that from the age of Yud Gimel he's chayav in tzitzis. And that's lafuke to exclude this minhag of the Ma'aril. But again, if you look at the Ma'aril, he's talking about misatvim. He's probably referring to a talis gadol in addition to the talis katan. So the ikar mitzvah tzitzis he fulfilled with the talis katan. There are those who have a minog, and this is the Sephardim for sure, and the Ashkenazim, meaning from Germany, they also have this minog that even a talis gadol should be worn by every male, whether he's married or not married. Now, if you look in the Be'er Heitev at the end of this quote, which is somehow left out of the Mishnah Berurah, I don't know why, he writes, "I am b'shas kiddushin." And then he says, "Hamagen Avram, kasa mashma migemara de bachur lo haya mechasa rosho betalis." So clearly, he's talking about a talis gadol. The eno muchrach the shomlo ayri mital shal mitzel mesudar derabbanon. So that the Be'er Heitev would certainly encourage a young man, even if he's not married, to wear even a talis gadol, but how much more so a talis katan. Let's begin Siman Yud Ches Zman Tzitzis. The Mechaber says Laila Lav Zman Tzitzis Hu, and this is based on a miut. The pasuk says Reisim Oso, and that excludes Laila. Leharambam, now he quotes a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. Kol mashalovich b'layla pata afilu miyuchad liyom. So when he wears a beged during the day with the beginning of Laila, he becomes pata from tzitzis. U'mashalovich b'yom chayv afilu miyuchad l'layla. Even if he has a garment that's usually worn at night, we call it pajamas, and he wears it during the day, if it's four-cornered, he has to put tzitzis on it. That's the Rambam sheet. Because the Rambam holds everything depends upon Yom and Laila, not on the beged. But La Rosh, according to the Rosh, Ksus HaMiuchad LaLaila, Potter HaFiyu Lov Shem HaYom, Ksus HaMiuchad LaYom. We'll see what the Mechaber says about this, but he's quoting the Rosh in the third parak of Menachos, and the Rosh writes that it all depends upon the beged. If it's a beged yom, then it's chayiv in tzitzis even b'layla. If it's a beged layla, then it's potter from tzitzis even b'yom. But now he says, the Mechaber, in the name of the Rosh, k'sus habiyuch liyom o liyom v'layla. He says, what about a beged that you wear either way? Either you wear it during the day or you wear it at night. It's not designated exclusively for either day wear or night wear. So in such a case, if he wears it during the day, then he's chayav. And not only that, if he wears it at night, he's chayav. Why? Because it does have the status of iksus yom insofar as it is generally worn during the day, even though it's generally worn both day and night. The fact that it's also worn at night is not mafkia. It still retains the status of a beged yom, and therefore if he wears it during the day, he'll be chayav, and even at night he'll be chayav. So there are two cases where he's chayav at night. One is ksus habiyuchad liyom, which means the garments that he wears during the day, he's chayav at night. Or even if it's a garment that he wears both by day and night, if he wears it either by day or by night, he's chayav in tzitzit. So the fact that he does wear this beged by yom, not exclusively by yom, that already gives it the status of a ksus yom, such as chayav in belayla. Now it's very fascinating how this machlokas, the Rambam and the Rosh, is going to impact not only halacha lemaisa, because again the Rambam is going to say that with nightfall, forget it, you can take off your tzitzis, there's no reason to wear tzitzis after nightfall, whereas the Rosh would say that you continue to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis even belayla insofar as the beged is a beged yom. But beyond that, the machlokas, the Rambam and the Rosh could impact on the question of women, whether nashim are obligated in tzitzis. Why? Because women are exempt from a time-bound mitzvah. Now, according to the Rosh, you could be mekayim the mitzvah since it's 24/7, as long as you're wearing a beged hamiyuchad liyom, or beged hamiyuchad liyom and lalayla. So the entire halach of laila is lafuke a beged laila, but it has nothing to do with the kiyum gavra, as the person could be mekayim the mitzvah since it's 24/7, unless he doesn't have a beged yom. So the mechayim is a beged yom. I mean, you would talk about Any mitzvah that requires X, so that's a condition in setting up the mitzvah. Once that condition is met, you're chayiv in that mitzvah 24/7, and that's what comes out according to the Rosh. As long as it's ksus yom, you're chayiv in the mitzvah 24/7. I mean, according to the Rambam, it's beautiful. The Rambam would classify tzitzis as a classic case of mitzvah seishas mind grama, because the only time you can obtain a kiyum of the mitzvah of tzitzis is only beyom. Balayla is no kiyum of tzitzis, even in a begging yom. But according to the Rosh, why is tzitzis classified as a mitzvah seishas mind grama when you could be mekayim this mitzvah 24/7? And the answer is that there's a whole new definition of mitzvah seishas mind grama according to the Rosh. It's not mitzvah seishas mind grama in terms of the kiyum of mitzvah, but rather mitzvah seishas mind grama in terms of the chefza that's machayev the mitzvah. If the chefza machayev mitzvah is classified as either yom or laila, that makes the mitzvah bichlalusa in general and mitzvah seishas mind grama. Now, what if you don't know whether this beged is miyuchad liyom or miyuchad lalaila? So in general, we have a principle called Safek Doraisa Lechumra, but Safek Brachas Lahakeh, which means that if you don't know if this beged is chayiv in tzitzis, although you'll have to wear it with tzitzis, but you're not going to make a brach on it. That's called Safek Brachas Lahakeh. The Mishnah Berurah says that according to the Rambam, mutalotze so shrambalel Shabbos betalsim tzitzlavi masui shehem noi habeged v'tachshiteha. This is a fascinating comment of the Mishnah Berurah based on the Taz. There's no Eruv. So the reason why you're allowed to wear a beged with tzitzis out in Rishus HaRabin,
even if you're not a chayav,
is only because, I don't know if you're not chayav, that I don't know, you're going a step further, but even though it's a masur, you're not really wearing the tzitzis, but the answer is that since you're makayim a mitzvah with this tzitzis, it's called a noila beged, and therefore it's not masur, it's called derech levish, and it's mutter without an Eruv in Rishis HaRam, but if I remove the mitzvah, for example, according to the Rambam, there is no mitzvah Balila, then there's no way that you could wear tzitzis at night. That's the question he's asking. And the Taz comes up with the following answer, that since during the day the tzitzis is called Noi Beged because of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, therefore even at night it maintains its status as Noi Beged. Now why is that so? I don't know. This really requires a lot more work, a lot more study. According to the Rush, if it was, yeah.
Don't the Brishkers have a minute that they don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos if there's no Eruv?
That could be for a different reason, because of the tcheles issue. That in order to be docha, in order to make it considered a noy beged, we need a complete chefza of a beged sheish bo tzitzis, and if you only have lavan and you don't have tcheles, that's not a complete, perfect mitzvah of tzitzis. Could be. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to know, for example, in a beged shel pishtan, where we apply the principle of esei docholosis, that would that apply with lavan even without tcheles? It could be for esei docholosis that we need the entire mitzvah, including the tcheles, which we don't have. And the same thing is true for noy beged for Shabbos. But he's asking a different question. If there's no kiyum mitzvah, then it's not noy beged, it's a masui. How could you wear it on Shabbos? And he answers, well, it was noy beged during the day. So that you added these tzitzis and attached them to the beged, and they became part of the beged because it's a beged yom. All this is a lot easier according to the Rosh, because the Rosh holds if you're wearing a beged yom, even belila, you're mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, so hence it's not a masui, it's noy beged. The Mishnah Berurah Beis, and with this we'll conclude, says that lahakel, that if you have a suffek as to whether or not this ksus is a yom or a laila, then you omit the bracha, but yet you will have to wear tzitzis. That's what the Mishnah Berurah points out. Also, lilbosh ksus shel laila b'yom below tzitzis. In other words, according to the Rambam Shita, you're obligated in tzitzis b'yom, even though it's a ksus laila, and therefore you better wear tzitzis in order to satisfy the view of the Rambam. V'chein ksus shel yom b'laila mishum safek. In other words, we don't know if the Rambam is correct, maybe the Rosh is correct, and therefore ksus shel yom b'laila is obligated in tzitzis. You better wear tzitzis to satisfy the svara of the Rosh. So again, if we're talking about a beged, a ksus shel laila b'yom, then we have to be machmir like the Rambam. If we're talking about a ksus yom balayla, then we have to be machmir for the sheet of the Rosh. Again, all this has to be taken under advisement as far as the bracha is concerned. For example, if I wear a ksus laila by yom, would I have to make a bracha because the Rambam holds by yom amchayev, or do we say sofik brachas lahakel? And on the flip side, a ksus shel yom balayla, what are we going to do as far as the bracha is concerned? So all this, we'll make a note of where we got up to. Yemir Hashem, we'll try to cover on a different day. I don't know if we can do it tomorrow, but on a different day. So we're up to Siman Yud Ches, and we're doing Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Beis. Okay, so that's what we want to do here, and this I'll put over here.